It could taint New Zealand's reputation. That's Transparency International's take on fast-track legislation that will give just three ministers the power to greenlight significant infrastructure and development projects. The Transport, Regional Development and Infrastructure ministers would have final say on consenting things like mines or dams, regardless of an expert panel's advice, and even if a court has previously denied consent. The bill that's being considered by a select committee has been criticised for potentially exposing the ministers to corruption allegations. Anti-corruption organisation Transparency International has concerns too. Its New Zealand CEO Julie Haggie joins us now. Kia ora, Julie.
Kia ora, Lisa.
Can you talk us through your main concerns, please?
I think our main concerns sit around the issue of the conflict of roles for the ministers, and that they are both the gatekeepers of the referrals, and then they establish the expert panel, and then they make the decision making, and that is just too much power to be concentrated in one aspect of that decision, in order to give trust to people that there's a fair, accountable and transparent process going on.
So, Julie, for people who aren't as familiar with this proposed law, you're talking about the fact that the three ministers, if they agree, they can put a project on the list for fast track.
Yes, that's right. They can put projects on the list, and as well as people being able to put their own projects on the list. But they also receive all of those applications and then refer those to the expert panel. And then the expert panel can have a look at it, and then they are limited in how who they're able to consult with. And then they refer it back to the minister for decision making. And so it sidesteps the general resource consent processes that other organisations have to go through.
And they can reject the expert panel's advice and decide to go ahead with the project anyway. So what are your concerns around potential perceived conflicts or real conflicts of interest?
Well, real conflicts of interest are more about the actual personal, in terms of the government system. They're more about the actual personal involvement of a minister. And we're not saying that necessarily that's the case. What it sets up, though, is that people who've got a strong interest and power in a situation are making decisions and referrals and setting up the system within a bill that then also reduces the amount of challenge and the amount of participation and even notification of people who will be affected by those decisions. And so those things are inherent in our laws generally, that right to appeal, that right to challenge, and the right to know about things. And so the power is concentrating at the point where people who are affected will have even less say.
Julie, should ministers be making decisions about projects if they have had political donations from the companies or individuals funding or involved in those projects?
There's another issue around general conflict of interest that's a broader concern. And I think we've heard there are two companies that are on the list already, which is in itself quite strange that it's already being developed before the legislation's passed. But also we won't know about the donations to the government election camp, the National Party's election campaign or the Act or whatever, until the 1st of May when that comes out. But yes, certainly it's about perception, isn't it? People need to know that there are checks and balances, that there is not a sort of purchasing of a clientelism going on, you know, purchasing of or arranging of legislation to suit the people who give you money. And that's certainly a perception. Like, I wouldn't say it's actual, there's nothing in it at the moment. The government came in a mandate to change the RMA, and so you can see that they're doing that already with some of the other legislation they're doing. It's more about the structure of how this is being done, the form in which it's taking, and the problems with accountability and transparency.
Julie, if it goes through and becomes law in its current form, what do you think this could do to New Zealand's international reputation?
Well, I mean, I can only talk about the Corruption Perceptions Index, which is what the Transparency International has. And we've already dropped down one rank in that index this last year. And the questions that informed that drop were around the diversion of public funds to contracts through corruption. Now, it is about perception. I'm sure the government intends no corruption in it. But the problem is that it may well drop the perception even further that somehow there's some corralling of public contracting and that it's not fair, not competitive, those sort of things.
So it's a blemish on our international reputation if we drop further down that index.
Yes, it certainly would affect our international reputation if we drop down further, because that index is relied on considerably worldwide.
So is there a way that this can be fixed? For example, others have said that they would like ministers to be forced to publish the reasons for their decisions in terms of approving projects. If that happened, does that mitigate any concerns about transparency?
Well, partly, but only partly. We've always said that any fast-track legislation should have a sunset clause, so it doesn't just go on and on. Also, the scope is very, very broad on this one, much more so than other fast-track legislation has had, so it encompasses a number of laws, not just the RMA. And then there's the whole matter of being able to have good reasons for what is being done, but also transparency. At the moment, the bill seems to have an exclusion clause for the OIA, so it's not clear whether people will be able to seek information and gain it. And then there's the legal challenge rights, which seem to be curtailed as well.
So if I can go just back to that, the leaderboard, if you like, of transparency, if we were to drop in that, I mean, what are the actual consequences? It's numbers on a sheet, isn't it? But what are the actual consequences, real world?
I mean, and we can't say this is particularly going to, it's not a straight line drawn between this bill and that. But the problem is we rely on our international reputation hugely in terms of our trading status, in terms of our mana internationally at trading tables, and generally as a good government citizen of the world, if you know what I mean. That's really important for New Zealand to hold its head up high and be able to say that its systems are clean, it's a good democracy, it's a safe place. It's running a good, fair system in New Zealand for doing business and for doing business really, and for its people in terms of participation.
Thank you for your time, Julie. That is Julie Haggie, Transparency International New Zealand CEO, talking about that fast track proposed legislation. 2101 on text. Let us know your thoughts.